And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
On today's Fantasy Baseball in 15, more worries for Jacob deGrom and another short outing for Blake Snell.
Like death and taxes, Dodger's been a Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It works great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball in 15 for Thursday, June 17th, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. I'm Al Melchior. I'm here with Michael Beller. And Michael, unfortunately, this is seemingly the story every 5 days. Jacob deGrom with another health issue and also another great but very short outing. Three perfect innings followed by his departure. He has been diagnosed with right shoulder soreness and is going to have an MRI on Thursday. So all we can do is cross our fingers and wait and hope on that one. Also, Alex Bregman leaving the Astros game on Wednesday with a quad strain. And Dusty Baker says that Bregman will likely be out a while. So let's go to some good news here. Zach Gallen to be activated on Thursday to start at San Francisco. Must start right away, right off the bat there, Michael.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not really going to mess around here. It's probably going to be a shorter start. We know that San Francisco's offense has been hitting the ball well for the balance of the season. But Zach Gallen, you've been waiting a long time to get him back. This was a guy who was drafted as a top 15 starter way back in March. So I feel totally okay getting him in my lineup today.
All right. And a couple of other returns, Ramon Laureano and Adalberto Mondesi. Well, Mondesi actually activated on Tuesday, but gets the start on Wednesday. Both Laureano and Mondesi starting for their respective teams and both of them homering. So very encouraging to see that. Gene Segura has gone on the injured list with a grade 1 groin strain. Josh Donaldson leaving the Twins game on Wednesday with calf tightness. Brady Singer pulled early from his start with shoulder tightness. Corey Seager expected to start a rehab assignment next week. Michael Moustakas had been on a rehab assignment. However, that has been shut down apparently because he is back in Cincinnati. He developed some soreness after his most recent rehab game. So we'll have to see what that means for Moustakas' return. And a couple of minor leaguers back up. Nationals recalling Luis Garcia. So it looks like Carter Kieboom is further down now on the organizational depth chart. So Garcia getting another shot at some playing time here, Michael. Where should we be looking to pick him up this weekend?
Would have to be pretty deep league. I mean, I could obviously get on board with him in a NL-only league, but I don't know if I would really go much beyond that. We haven't seen a ton from him, and even the minor league numbers don't just like leap out at you off the page. So NL-only, sure, I'm not really interested beyond that.
All right. And then sort of an intriguing move by the Braves, bringing up Kyle Muller, when on Wednesday's show, I speculated, I think with pretty good reason that Bryce Wilson would be taking over Tucker Davidson's spot in the rotation. It's just the way that that lined up. But bringing up Kyle Muller, but Muller did pitch in relief on Wednesday. So that one may be up in the air still. So we'll track that over the next couple of days. The Padres optioned Ryan Weathers to AAA El Paso, and I think Denelson Lamet's ability to go deeper into games probably made that something that the Padres were able to do. Kyle Tucker has been placed on the COVID-19 injured list. Michael Conforto started a rehab assignment with AAA Syracuse on Wednesday, so hopefully see his return sooner than later. And not much here, Michael, to talk about in terms of bullpens, but something that I noticed a few days back and has continued since I noticed that Josh Taylor's on a nice little scoreless appearance streak. The last time that he allowed a run for the Red Sox was back on April 24th. He pitched on Wednesday, got a hold. It was Adam Ottavino getting the save with Matt Barnes unavailable. So Taylor pitching the eighth, getting a hold, another scoreless appearance for him. So he's now up to 15 straight scoreless innings pitched with 20 strikeouts and five walks over that span and nine holds. So not much maybe in the way of saves to talk about here, but I think we've got a saves plus hold candidate that needs to be picked up.
Oh, I am right there with you, definitely, and probably needed to be picked up a little while ago. So if you are in a save hold league, count yourself lucky if he's still sitting out there. This is definitely someone to add.
Yeah, and check for it, because I did just add him a couple days ago. He was still available in one of mine, so you might get lucky too. So on that note, let's take a look at some of the other players from Wednesday who made us take notice, and Blake Snell did so, unfortunately, in a negative way. Just another bad outing for him. Now, this one at Colorado, so I think this is, Michael, partly what makes this worth discussing, because you could interpret this a couple different ways. So Snell going 3 1/3, giving up 7 runs on 9 hits and 2 walks, only 1 strikeout, just a miserable line overall. But if you saw Blake Snell getting that line last year, would you view it differently? I mean, should we take this seriously as, you know, part of a larger body of work this season that's been disappointing?
I think we should, Al. I mean, this is the second time in his last 4 trips to the mound he's given up 7 earned runs. Sure, at Colorado, it's a tough assignment. The other one was at Houston, certainly not an easy matchup, but you know, the best pitchers in the league are supposed to be able to handle tough assignments and not easy matchups, and we just haven't seen that from Blake Snell. I mean, going back the last couple of weeks here, he really hasn't been a very effective pitcher. So, I mean, you're not going to sit him down, or at least I'm not going to sit him down, and I don't think you're going to get equal value for him on the trade market. I just think sort of what we talked about with Luis Castillo yesterday, we just need to acknowledge that there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. He's just not that locked in top 10 to 15 pitcher that a lot of people were treating him as back in draft season.
Yeah, and I think that is absolutely a fair assessment. Now, the question is how far maybe he's down from that. I think that's still an open question, even this late in the season. Ross Stripling, we've talked about him quite a bit, and delivered a nice start against the Yankees, 6 2/3, 3 runs, but only 2 of them earned, and only 3 hits, 9 strikeouts, 2 walks. Very nice line there from Ross Stripling against the Yankees. So I don't know if this really changes anything from 24 hours ago, but how do you feel about Ross Stripling this morning?
Yeah, feeling really good about him, to be honest. He's been very good over the last 5 trips to the mound that he has made. You go back over those 5 trips, he's had at least 5 innings in all 5 of them, a 2.45 ERA, 29 strikeouts in 29 1/3 innings, and a whip that's a little bit above 1. He's been very effective. You love having that offense at his back. I think we're back in on Stripling after a really tough start to the season.
All right. And then just to take note of a couple of pitchers who are recent additions to their team's rotations, Bailey Ober and Pablo Espino. Ober, as I mentioned on a recent episode, really putting up some good numbers in the minors and getting strikeouts so far in the majors, and a very good matchup here. So we definitely need to take note of that at the Mariners. 4 scoreless innings, only 1 hit, no walk, 6 strikeouts, almost perfection from Bailey Ober over those 4 innings, and Pablo Espino going 5 deep for the Nationals. And again, this is filling in for Max Scherzer. So 5 scoreless innings for Espino, 3 hits, no walks, only 2 strikeouts for him against the Pirates. So a couple of favorable matchups that might tilt the way that we look at these. But is it time to pick up an Ober?
I don't know if it's necessarily time to pick him up. He's definitely firmly on the stream radar. Picking him up would, in my mind, signal that you do need a little bit of pitching help, not just that this is someone who's worth adding totally on his own merits. But hey, that's totally fine if that ends up being the case for you. He has placed himself on that radar where it's not crazy to pick him up for the long term.
All right. And Espino, I think it still remains to be seen whether or not whether he even holds a rotation spot, but certainly makes a nice case there against the Pirates.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, also in that Nationals Pirates game, nice performance from Yan Gomes, couple of hits, including his seventh homer of the year. That's back-to-back games with a home run for Yan Gomes. So seems like we have this discussion maybe about once a week, Michael, where we say, hey, here's a catcher who's actually hitting really well, and that those are hard to find. So, you know, the question is Yan Gomes somebody we look at in one catcher leagues, or just see if he happens to be out there in the two catcher leagues?
Yeah, I'm going to give you an answer that I give for a lot of these guys. If you are struggling at your catcher position, then I think Yan Gomes is someone you're looking at one catcher leagues. I wouldn't be rushing to make a change. If I just picked up Max Stassi, I wouldn't be rushing to make a change here. If I'm riding like Omar Narvaez, who's been getting on base a lot, I wouldn't be rushing to make a change. If I still can't find an answer because Austin Nola was my guy and he's been on the IL for a month, maybe I look at Yan Gomes. So that's really where I sit with him. Two catcher leagues, obviously, you're looking to add him if you can.
Sounds like you've been looking at some of my rosters, so that Nola comment. Ryan Mountcastle putting up some nice numbers for the Orioles, went 3-for-5 on Wednesday at Cleveland, hit his ninth home run of the season, and four of those home runs have come fairly recently. He's 16 for his last 48, so that's a .333 average with four home runs over that span. So definitely a hot hitter and maybe somebody who's rounding into the form we expected.
Yeah, I like Mountcastle if he's available for you. This Baltimore team, we've talked about it a few times, Al, right? They're not a good team. They're not a great offense, but there's some power in this lineup, and Mountcastle's one of the guys who can bring it. So I think that can work against him at times when he does go into those funks because, you know, Brandon Hyde has ways that he can fill out the lineup that don't include Ryan Mountcastle kind of easily. But when he's in one of these good streaks, I think you want to look at him, and I think it just buys him a lot of time with Brandon Hyde and the coaching staff there in Baltimore.
All right, let's just talk about a couple of other hitters who have some playing time questions, but not necessarily performance questions. Luke Williams, recently recalled by the Phillies and has done nothing but hit since coming up, went 3-for-4 against the Dodgers on Wednesday with a couple of doubles. He's now hitting .474, that may not be... There should be more playing time now with both middle infielders out for the Phillies, mm-hmm. but still... You know, there's Nick Maton in the mix as well. Also, Chaz McCormick with a two-homer game against the Rangers. And we should note that Jose Altuve also had one. Altuve now up to 15 on the season. But McCormick with 8 home runs now. And that's just one of those numbers in the box score, Michael, that just kind of popped out like, wow, McCormick's already got 8 home runs. But again, not much playing time unless Kyle Tucker happens to be out for a while. So with Williams and McCormick, is there a reason to hope that they can play enough to matter in fantasy?
I think there's reason, especially for Williams, as you said, with the injuries in Philadelphia and with McCormick getting maybe a little bit of a short-time opportunity here with Tucker being down. I would take a look at both of those guys. I think it's worth it now in the short term, and if it doesn't work out in the long term, so be it. But let's take a shot on them while they're both getting playing time and while they are swinging hot bats as they are. I'm going to move us into Thursday here, Al. Let's take a look at the streamers. It's a short slate. We only got 3 pitchers on our radar here. Wade Miley, he's in San Diego taking on the Padres. Jorge Lopez is in Cleveland, and then we've got Justin Dunn at home against the Rays. Who jumps out at you?
I would say, well, Miley for sure, but he's one of these kind of borderline ones that I occasionally include on the list. Borderline in terms of streamability, not in terms of startability.
Right.
So if Miley does happen to be available in your league, even with a potentially very tough matchup there and with Joe Musgrove going for the Padres, I think you have to start Miley. Justin Dunn's a lot riskier, definitely a tough matchup there with the Rays and with Rich Hill vying with him for a win. But Dunn's been very, very good at home with an ERA just under 3. So, it's not an absolute slam dunk with Dunn, but I do think that he is streamable today. Lopez, not a bad matchup there, but I think I'm going to pass on him, certainly if I have either Miley or Dunn available.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm right there with you in how I grade those guys. And if Wade Miley's available in your league, don't just stream him. Pick him up and add him and keep him because that guy totally deserves it.
Yeah, no, great advice there, absolutely. All right, well, let's finish up here with our weekly stock watch. Two players up, two players down. J.P. Crawford hitting, and even hitting with power. So 23 for his last 60 with three home runs and seven doubles. And Patrick Sandoval is going to be our pitcher going up in the stock watch this week. His last three starts, 18 strikeouts over 17 innings with just five walks and one home run allowed and a 19.0 swinging strike rate. I mean, that's the part that really, really stands out here. So what's your level of interest in either or both of these players?
A little more interested in Crawford, to be honest. Over a 60 plate appearance sample, we've seen him really get going at the plate. So I really like what I've seen from him. And we've seen this from him previously in his career. I'm interested in both, but a little bit more so in Crawford.
All right. And then two players down. Adolis Garcia. And this might seem like an odd inclusion for down because after a protracted and very bad slump, he has picked it up. He's six for his last 19, but... those have been six of those six hits. Just one's been a double, the rest being singles. And the power drought has just continued for him over his last 68 plate appearances. No home runs, only two doubles for Adolis Garcia. And Zach Greinke, you know, a decent start against the Rangers last night. But I think you kind of expect that from Zach Greinke. But it's yet another start where the strikeouts have been notably down. And now over his last five starts combined, he's thrown 31 to two-thirds innings and gotten just 18 strikeouts. So both players that, you know, not so long ago were certainly must-start options. Has that changed for either Garcia or for Greinke?
I don't know if it's necessarily changed. I definitely don't think it's changed for Garcia. The power will be back. I'm not worried about him. Greinke, he just is who he is at this stage of his career, and this is the sort of pitcher he is. He's a guy who you don't necessarily need to start every single time he takes the mound, but obviously should be rostered across the board.
All right, yeah, it's a new status that kind of takes a little bit of getting used to for Zach Greinke. So that's going to be it for this episode of Fantasy Baseball in 15. If you do have a moment to rate and review this podcast, we thank you in advance and greatly appreciate when you do that. So for Michael Beller, I'm Al Melchior, and we'll be back here on Friday.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.